Okay, we're picking up the Gemara, six lines from the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. I apologize, I have strep, so I wasn't able to send it yesterday. Baruch Hashem, feel a little better. Hopefully I'll be able to send it for the rest of the week. I'm feeling a little bit better, Baruch Hashem. So let's learn. Ein Bein Sfarim Letzvilim and Mezuzas. Now we're continuing our Ein Beins. So there's no difference between the halachas that are going to be to the halachas of Sfarim, as Rashi defines Sfarim is certified Tanakh, that Nevi'im and mainly Ksuvim, Nevi'im and Ksuvim written, and Tefillin and Mezuzas. Except for the fact that the Sfarim and Nevi'im and Ksuvim are allowed to be written in any language, it's Tefillin Mezuzas, Ein Eftavin Ella Ashuris. Whereas Tefillin Mezuzas have to be written in Ashuris. Ashuris is literally from the Assyrian. It's literally because it's the clearest one. And this is something which was the Ksav that we have nowadays also in our Sefer Torah, in our Mezuzas, in our Tefillin. All those is going to be Ksav Ashuris. The Rach Taina is that this was also the Ksav that was written even at the time of Har Sinai. That would have fit in very nicely with the Gemara we had before about the Mem that was Haya Omid. That whole thing works in very nicely because Ksav Ivri, the Mem, doesn't look like that. It looks very different. So Ksav Ivri, just to point out, we're going to get into Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri is the original Hebrew text. This was, the Ramban already notes that it was different. We have the whole Masorah for the entire Hebrew text. So we're going to get into this, Beshem, today's Gemara. It's important to note that because the text was written differently. It was mainly written in the whole documents. It's amazing. What they found at Ir David, they found a bula. It's a person's signet was written in all the Ksav Ivri. That's how he used to write everything. And I think they even found, who was it? Yeshayahu, a Navi, is unbelievable. His bula that says his name in old Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew. And they found people from Tanakh, people in the time of, people who are working for David HaMelech, people mentioned in Tanakh, in Sefer Shmuel, end of Sefer Shmuel, and Sefer Malachim. It's unbelievable what we're finding in the Ir David. So that was they're going to be written only specifically in Ashuris. So that what the Torah Evan just points out that that you would be allowed to learn, obviously allowed to learn the other Sfarim written in a different text. However, you're not fulfilled the mitzvahs of writing a Sefer Torah unless it's written in the Ksav Ashuri. That is an interesting debate because the Shach quotes that the Maisa, they're quoting the Rash. Shach quotes this Rash that nowadays part of the Kiyum of Kisvus Ashir HaZos would be the concept of writing Sfarim also and having Sfarim published and printed because that is the way that we are ascertaining the Torah continue. And that's part of the concept of continuing Talmud Torah and continuing the Torah is having Sfarim printed. Either way, Rabbi Shimon Lemelmer, Af Sfarim Lo Yitira Sheikh Sazman Levanis, Rabbi Shimon Lemelmer says that no, only permitted in any other language is Greek. Nothing else, no other language is allowed to be written. And the Gemara is going to discuss this more in the Hemshech. Now the Gemara says, now with regards to that, the fact that you have to sew them literally with sinews, this is a halacha, the separate items have to be attached by sewing them together with sinews. That's what you see in the Sefer Torah, right? Those, all those middle columns, that's the way you do it. That's halacha. That's halacha l'shem Sinai, that then needs to be done. And also tamei through touching them. We mentioned this before, that a person, anytime he touches a scroll, it's going to become tamei. That was because of the issue they put it with the truma. And also it's not respectful to touch it barehanded, to touch a Sefer Torah. So we want to avoid that by making your hands tamei. So that would be the halacha. That the books of Nevi'im and Ksuvim would be the same as Tefillin and Mezuzos, and therefore they all have to be done with the Tofran Begidin. You have to have them all sewn together, and also their hands are going to be Matam Yudayim. So that's what we see over here, that that's going to be the halacha, and that would apply. This is actually a machlokas. The Gemara in Makos says that only a Sefer Torah has to be a Sefer Torah, the opposite. Sefer Torah may be done even with Pishtan, with flax. So that's the Rashi quotes, but here the Gemara seems to be assuming that they're both the same. It's actually Machlokas Achamaisa. Rashi Lechora is understanding that the mezuzah would be kosher if it was two parchments that were then sewn together afterwards. However, the Rambam, so that's mamish pasul. Interesting halacha. Now the Gemara continues. The Sfarim nechtav necholashon. The Sfarim are written in any language. Says the Gemara Uraminu. We have a contradiction. The Brisa says Mikra shekasu targum. If someone wrote a Hebrew text in an lashon of Aramaic, a targum shekasu Mikra, or an Aramaic text in the lashon of Hebrew, as Rashi gives the example, we're going to see this from the Gemara, is it says Yigar Sadusa. Yigar Sadusa and Rashi and Yaakov call it Galed. Yigar Sadusa is a lashon of Aramaic. So if the sofer wrote instead of the Hebrew of Yigar Sadusa, he wrote Galed, or if he wrote the Aramaic Yigar Sadusa, or if he wrote the Aramaic portions in Hebrew, those examples are Ksav Ivri, or if he wrote it in Ksav Ivri, that was the lashon that we just mentioned. Ksav Ivri is the ancient Hebrew text that they used to use for writing. Then everyone switched it to the regular Ksav of a regular Hebrew. However, that was as the Rach was claiming, and I think that's I think you have to say like this, but the Gemara seems to assume like that, the earlier Gemara, and I think the Radvaz, the Shuta Radvaz actually dealt with that question beferish, and he says this also, is that that they were still writing the Sefer Torah in Ksav Ashuri, just all their documents were done in Ksav Ivri. Enu metame seyadayim. As fast as the Rabban already knew about this, but he said he found ancient coins that have Ksav Ivri on them. So yeah, They had that back. That was it. And then we also found more and more things with the Ksav Ivri. We have the whole alphabet. We know exactly what the whole alphabet was in Ksav Ivri. Enam Atama Seyadayim. Those things were not make the hands tave if you touched it, because it doesn't have the status of a properly written cloth and a properly written scroll. So you have to write it in Ashuris on parchment and and with black ink. So this brisa, which does not tell us that there's kedusha in Nach or in any other language in Hebrew, seems to be against the Mishnah, which says there is kedusha. So lechora, they're so sure each other. So now the Gemara is going to say again, the Mishnah is lechora only talking about the fact that it's permissible to write them in a different language. The brisa is telling us they don't have necessarily the tumah. The Gemara assumes at the two, at this point, that the two are interconnected. If they have, if you're allowed to write them, they would have kedusha to them. So says, I'm sorry, says the Gemara, Amar Rav lo kasha, kan megufan shelanu. Rava says, in our case, sorry, the Mishnah is talking about the case of Ksava Shuris, therefore it has kedusha to it. Kan Begufan Shilahen, whereas the Braisa is writing it in a different Ksav. So Rava is explaining the Braisa to refer to one single case. If you changed it Hebrew to Aramaic, Aramaic to Hebrew, and you wrote it in Ivri script, that is not going to become Tame until he writes it in Ksav Ashuri. That's what Rava wants to understand. Gemara says, no, I'm really a Abaye, though. But Mike made the Lehi. So how are you explaining the Braisa? The Braisa is Begufan Shilahen, referring to in their script, and that's why it's not a valid, it's not going to be Kasher. My area mikra shikasa targum shikam mikra. Why does the Braisa specifically mention the case of Hebrew in Aramaic and Aramaic in Hebrew? A filo mikra shikasa mikra v'targum shikasa targum nami. If foreign letters, if you wrote in a different language, a Hebrew text is written in Hebrew and Aramaic that's written in Aramaic are also not going to be kasher to haktani, because the Braisa said, Achik Ashuris also don't only specifically write Ksav Ashuris, not even in regular Hebrew script, that is only Ksav Ashuri. So why then does the first part of the Braisa, according to your explanation, disqualify the Ivri script only when the language is changed? The Chorah should be possible no matter what. So it says Gemara Ela Lo Kasha. So therefore, there's no difficulty. Harabbanan, the Mishnah must be the Shita of the Rabbanan, even when written in other languages, is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whereas the Braisa that rules that the written only in the Hebrew language in the script is going to be the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who is different than the Rabbanan and the Mishnah. Accordingly, our Mishnah is just going to be the Pshuto. It means that the Nevi'im that you written in a foreign language with foreign text is going to be kosher according to Tanakam, and the Braisa, which is going to be the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, is going to say that that's possible in a language, any other language in its foreign, except for Ksav Ashuri and Greek. So the verse says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ha'ika Yavanis, but that's not true though, because the Braisa says Rav Shimon Gamliel should also include Greek. It's the Braisa says only if you write on Sefer Torah B'dyo, which is only bearing Ksav, and only Ksav Ashuris. So how could this can't line up with Rav Shimon Gamliel? So therefore, the Gemara rejects his answer also. Ela lo kasha. So therefore, there's no kasha because we could explain kan b'svarim. The Mishnah, we're talking about a case where we're writing svarim that are written in a foreign language. And these are going to be kadosh even if they're written in another language or a different script. Kan b'tfilin mezuzos, whereas the braisa are referring to specifically to the mezuzos, we're only going to be kasha if you write them ksav ashuris. So the Gemara says, tfilin mezuzos my time. So why are tfilin mezuzos possible if they're written in a different language? Mishum deksiv v'hayu, because it says they should v'hayu v'me'ila. V'hayu v'me'ila, v'hayu specifically, they should be the way that they're written, the language should not be changed. So Gemara says, so then according to this though, my targum shekasa mikri kaba, where do we have the possibility that Aramaic translates to Hebrew? Bishlam targa taira ika yagar sadusa. We have in the Torah has the Lashon of Aramaic. Yagar sadusa was the way that Lavan called the Lashon of Gal'ed. And Yaakov called it Galed, so that we have the Pasuk of Yigar Sadusa and Galed. So there you can explain if you accidentally translated Yigar Sadusa to Galed and vice versa, that's going to be the problem there. Elahacha may targumika, but in the case of Kriyashma, which is what's written in your Tfilin Mezuzos, what Aramaic is there? There's no Aramaic that can be translated to Tfilin Mezuzos, so then that can't be the subject of the Braisa either. So therefore we reject this answer also. So now again, there's no problem. Kan Megillah, we're specifically talking about the Megillah must be written originally in Ksav Ashuri. That's specifically Ksav Ashuri, as it said, and Kamis Farm, and the other ones, whereas the Mishnah is talking about the other Sifrei Tanakh, other not really, have been written in another language. Megillah Mai Taima, so why Megillah be written specifically in an original language? The Chsiv Ba Kiksava Melchshoinam. It's specifically according to their script, according to the language. There's a lot of achronim of a problem with this. This is talking about the decree. This was my tongue of the decree that the Jews ought to defend themselves, and it said that they sent it to the Jews, Kiksava Melchshoinam, nothing to do with the halachas of Megillah. So someone had changed it to Ksavan Uchizmanim later in the Pesukim in Megillah. But either way, parak later. But our gifts that we have it is Ksavan Uchshonam, which we're having an additional level of interpretation, means that it should be in their language, which implies it shouldn't be changed, and specifically, it should be, it not should be, not should be changed. Another kasha is over here. that also. But the Gemara says later that even if you're missing part of the Megillah, maybe it's only a rove, but if you're missing portion of the Megillah, you can read it bal-peh, it's still kasher. So how over here, if I write this portion in the wrong sav, that's only going to be one, two words. So somebody showed him how to explain. The Ritva explains that it means that if you wrote that wrong, then at the end of the day, this will lead up to the count towards the parts that are missing. We consider Baal Peh, that you'll be reading it Baal Peh, but it doesn't pass the whole Megillah. However, other Rishonim want to explain that no, writing it Tosos, I think, Rashi also Tosos, they both explain that writing it wrong is going to be considered worse than just leaving it blank. Leaving it completely blank would be better than in a case where you wrote it wrong. When writing it wrong, we're assuming it's not writing in Ksav Ashuri. Now the Gemara says, but my Targum Shkatsu Mikra Ika, where is the possibility of Aramaic written in Hebrew? The Gemara says, Mara Papa, Vanishma Pisgam Melech. Loshon Pisgam is a decree of the king. Apparently, that's Aramaic, and in Hebrew it should be Dvar Melech. So Pisgam Melech really comes from Aramaic, and that's the Loshon you have to write it in the way that it was written. Rav Nachman Ritzel Gamar V'chol Anashim Yitnu Yakar Levaleihen. That there, the word Yakar is equivalent to the word of Kavod. So Yakar is Loshon of Aramaic, which is giving respect and honor to their husbands, the beginning of the Megillah. Okay, now the Gemara gives another answer. Rav Ashi Amar Kitanya Yi Bishar Sfarim. The Braisa is teaching the case. But in the regards to other Rabbim Ksuvim not written in the Sefer Torah, Rabbi Yehuda, and that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is trying to explain Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The son, as we learn in the Braisa, Tefillin and Mezuzos ain't Nichleven Ela Ashuris. Tefillin and Mezuzos are only written Ashuris. Rabbi Sinu Teri Avanas and the Rabbanan, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they permitted it even written in Greek. The Gemara says Vayakse Vahayu, but with regards to Tefillin and Mezuzos, it says Vahayu can only be written in the original language. How can you say there's a lot of it written in Greek? Elaim Asfarim Nichleven Mechol Lashon. You have to explain the Braisa, which means that Sfarim of Nevi'im Ksuvim are written in any language. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel printed it to be written in Greek. Hitiro Michlad the Tanakama Asar, which you can say that the Lashon of Hitiro is implying that the Tanakama of the Braisa says it's Asar to write it in Greek, but that can't be. The Tanakama, the Braisa clearly says that all languages are going to be permitted. So what's going on over here? Ela Ema Rabbosinu Lo Hitiro Shikasu Eli Avanis. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can only let it write it in only one other language, except for Hebrew, except for Shuri, which would be Greek. Netanya, and you learn from the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda. Even when the Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel permitted the use of Greek, that was only with regards to a Sefer Torah, because Greek is permitted for a Sefer Torah and nothing else. That the rest of the Nevi'im Ksuvim are going to be puzzled in honor of the language other than Hebrew. Because the king told me where the Torah was translated into Greek. That was one of the terrible tragedies. I think it was Sarah Batavis, right? So one of the things of Sarah Batavis is that this was a very bad thing, because then eventually it got corrupted that the Goyim took it. This was part of the Old Testament being translated was from Latin, was from the Talmud's translation of the Torah. So that was a miracle that we're about to see. But it was not a good thing that it be translated overall. This is considered a sad event, one of the things that we're even commemorating the fast for. So the Rabbanan said that this is going to be, so then what comes out is, we're just saying that only Nevi'im may be written in Greek, or Shimon Gamliel. Only Sefer Torah, because of the decree of Talmud that you're allowed to write it. All the other languages are not allowed to write in any other language. So Rabbanan said that except for writing a Sefer Torah, they allowed it only because at the time of Talmud, that also you can only write in Greek, whereas it continues to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That's the Machlokas. And whereas the Tanya learned Rebbe Isa, the Braisa says, "My sevatalmei amelach." The ones went to enter the king told me, "Shekine shivim zakenim b'shnayim zakenim echnisan b'shivim b'shnayim batim." 72 elders in Israel, and they placed them in 72 houses. V'lo gila la'am elmak kinsan. He didn't tell them what their purpose of coming was. V'nechnas kol etzer echol ramelam kisili taras Moshe b'avchas. He said, "All them, write for me a Greek translation of the Torah of Moshe." Nasa gosh baruch hu b'leva kachar b'echad etza. Hashem gave a divine spirit, and then v'eskim kon la'asachas. They all translated exactly the same, because they were afraid of certain things, and it was a Ruach HaKodesh, so all 70 of them translated exactly right. Because like for example, we're going to give examples now, all the problematic things. Elohim bara Bereshis, God created in the beginning. Because if you say Bereshis bara Elohim, it sounds like Bereshis might be another name of a God, Chas V'Shalom, and I'll misunderstand that the Torah is telling you there's more than one God. And that was the first problem, so they changed it around to Elohim bara Bereshis. Ese Adam betel medmus, another pasuk is problematic. Ese Adam betel medmus, the pasuk says, Nase Adam, that let us, which implies, again, there's more than one God, Chas V'Shalom. So now it's not Rashi, it's Kondos and Malachim. But either way, so that's the Pasuk. So, yeah, we were trying to avoid any misinterpretation topic courses of understanding the Torah. Vayichal b'yom ha-shishi, v'yishbos b'yom, really should say shishi, but it says, v'yishbos b'yom ha-shvi'i. So why was the problem over here? Because it would imply that Hashem, the Talmud would have argued that God did in fact work on the seventh day. He wouldn't have an explanation that the fact that, what is the fact that vayichal b'yom ha-shishi, but rather, the Shabbat Shabbos b'manucha. So that he wouldn't have agreed with that. Zachar nekeva bar ol, and Losa's bar am. Again, them in the plural, which would have indicated that them, that means that more two humans have been created each. And therefore, we want him to understand it correctly that the male and female, and first they had a man, and then from there, from the man, turned into a woman. What was so bad if he had misunderstood that a man and woman couldn't create it? That's a chorin deal with that. But Be'etzim, that's another problem over here. And Hava Erdev Evla Sham Sfasam. So there again, with regards to Migdal Bavel, so it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hava Erdev Nivla Sham Sfasam. It says literally, like, come, let us, and we will go down, and again, indicating that there's Kasul Shalom, another God. So that would be another problem. And now continuing, Shlokin, that would be Titzchak Sarah Bikor Ve'ah. Not Sarah laughed Bikirba in her hearts, like that she didn't explicitly say anything out. Rather, she said it with her relatives, implying that she laughed together with other people, which is why she, in fact, Hashem was angry at her. Otherwise, Tolmi would have explained that, it would have been Akasha, that he's showing favoritism to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu also laughed. We know that Avram Avinu was laughing out of joy. That's Targum Unkel's helps us explain that. But he wouldn't have understood that, so he would have said that Avram laughed in his heart also, and Sarah laughed. You're punishing Sarah, not Avram. Hashem is merciful. It doesn't have a fair way of judging. Okay? And now the Gemara continues, Kibar Avram Har Geshor, but some Ikru really says Ish. We change it to Ikru Avos. What is this? That this Shimon and Levi, we just had this, Parshas Vayechi, they uprooted uprooted an ox, and when they uprooted an Avos, Avos is a reference to a feeding trough. Why do we change it to a person? Because they're going to say, even your own father Yaakov is referring to the Shvatim as murderers. You guys clearly are murderers. All the Jewish people are murderers. Now, again, we want to misunderstand that. Vayikav Moshe as Ishtov as Bona Vekimim al Nosei b'nei Adam. Moshe took his wife and they mounted them on a carrier of people as opposed to a donkey that was set al Chamor. Moshe being the leader of your whole people has to take a lowly donkey. It's so embarrassing. So they said just Nosei Adam, things that the carrier people. Moshe bnei Yisrael asher yoshu mitzrayim v'shar arba'mos arba'mos shana, where the Jews were in other lands was 400 years. Rashi a few times in Chumash Rashi quotes this problem. It says Moshe bnei Yisrael asher yoshu mitzrayim shloshim mashana v'arba'mos shana, 430 years. Now where does it start from? If it starts from, it can't be that it starts from the actual Exodus when they went down to Mitzrayim, because if you take the years of Kahas, who was one of the camp that was one of the early Mitzrayim, and Amram and Moshe, you get a total of around 350 years, which is still not 430, and it's not even 350 years, because it's not even close to 430, and if it was, the years are under 350 years, there's life of Amram that overlaps with Moshe, many of the years overlapped with each other, Kahas, who was overlapping with Amram, so this whole thing would be extremely problematic. Rather, the 430 years, Rashi explains, is the time that Avram told him in the Bris Ben Abasarim that you're going to be a ger v'arz asher lo lahem, not your land, for 400 years. That took place 430 years, 30 years later, Yitzhak was born, and that time on, the 400 years, was a land, and now there's he was a land in Eretz Plishtim, Rashi writes, and then after that, Yaakov was sojourning everywhere, we never really had our own land, and that starts the count of the 400 years, after really the 430 from when Hashem told him, and that was the 430 years that comes out exactly to that time. And Rashi does a whole cheshbon. Now, Gemara continues, Ve'yishlach etzautei b'nei Yisrael. Etzautei b'nei Yisrael, what's that, two b'nei Yisrael? The really puzzles about it, still b'nei Yisrael, lo shalach yadol. The nobles of Hashem did not put his hand. So over here, it says it really says Nare, which is telling us the lads. What Moshe sent with the Narim, he sent the Zatui, so tell me don't accuse the Jews of any unimportant people to greet the Shekhinah by Bar Sinai. So that was the problem. Erevel Zatui B'nai Yisrael, Lo Shalach Yadol again, against Zatui instead of Nare Yisrael, because he was explaining that the nobles, that again, we don't want to mention them as Nare in both cases, and that would again imply that both cases were problems, that both times they translated them as Zatui B'nai Yisrael. Now they're turning on to the next summer, now Testament Beis. The Gemara says further. The Gemara says, Lo chama chemed echad mehem nasasi. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Lo chamor echad. And the Lord implied, only I didn't take a donkey, but I did take other things. So again, didn't want Talmud to misunderstand that. Why dafka a donkey? And Marsha explains, because he didn't take, even the donkey, when he came to Mitzrayim, I could have deducted that from Klal Yisrael, the payment that had come, and I didn't deduct that, I didn't do anything. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Hashem. Asher chalak Hashem lakech osem lahari l'chol amin. This is a reference to the pasuk. The whole pasuk says, "Pentisa inecha shemaima veraisus hashemes v'sareach pasuk kachavim kol tzvashem v'mdinat v'shtach v'datem v'aratem shechalak hashem v'kachal osam l'cholam tachas kol shemaim." All these things are drawn to worship, and the pasuk says Hashem gave them to other nations in the heavens. So now they would totally would have understood that this is given to other nations, that you conclude that other nations are permitted to worship idols. No, there's an Israel of Adazar is one of the seven mitzvahs of Noach. And the Chachamim learned from there that the lashon of chalak really is a reference of slippery, that they're able to, they fell for this trap of worshipping Avodah Zarah, and I'm telling you not to do them, that's what Hashem's telling Klal Yisrael. Vayelech vayavod Elokim acharim asher lo tzivisi la'ovdam, he went and served other gods that are not commanded to serve, v'kasu lo, they wrote to him, that paroso, etzira saragalim, the short-legged creature, sorry,
is a reference to that to serve them. That I mean, I God have not commanded them to exist. I mean, the gods are in fact gods, chas v'shalom, and they could have been against Hashem's will. He couldn't control them not coming into the world. No, that's not part of it. Obviously, Hashem controlled everything, and he controlled as a nisayon to make the avodah zarah. That's what the pasuk says. The kosulav. They also wrote in the non-kosher animals at tziras haraglayim. The short-legged creature looks as our neves. Didn't say our neves. Why? What was the problem? That's just a technical problem. Ishto shatame. Her name was our neves. So shema, and she would have been upset. She would have said shalo yoyimar shachol kubiyut shachol kubiyut and vaytilu shemish tibatara. The Jews made fun of me. My wife's name is listed amongst the non-kosher creatures. How could it be? So I'm sure there is obviously another coincidence in life that she was listed as in the a non-kosher animal. Okay, that was all the things that they changed. Famous Gemara over here. Now the Gemara is Rabbi Shimon Galmel Shikasu that even other things cannot be written in any language other than Greek. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Biyochan Alach Rabbi Shimon Galmel Alach Falz Rabbi Shimon Galmel that you can only write it in Ksav Ashuris. And really could write Greek. However, Rambam already paskins that since Greek has been corrupted and not the original Greek that we had, all the Svarim that we have nowadays, all the Tanakh, if you want to use them as, again, Kosher Sefer, must be written in Ksav Ashuri and nothing else. So that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara says, Rambam B'yoyechanan, my time at Rambam Shimon Gamliel. So what is the reasoning of Rambam Shimon Gamliel? Saying that Greek, why is Greek permitted? Amakra, Yafta, Lekim, Yafes, Yishkan, Baal Hashem. Shem should extend Yafes and should dwell in the tents of shame. The words, meaning the language of Yefes, shall be in the tents of shame. Where says, why Dafka Greek though? There was other children of Yefes. Ve'ima Gogar Magog, Gomer Magog, also came from Yefes. Why Dafka Greek? So Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Yechia Bar Abba, Hainu Taima Dechsev Yefes Elokim Yefes, God would beautify Yefes. The Gemara says, Yefus Yefes Yebel Hashem, the beauty of Yefes shall be in the Hashem. Greek, which is the most beautiful language, is coming from Yefes. That's how we know specifically during that. We see also, there's a lot of deeper kavanas here that there is beauty to certain things that the goyim have and they're offering us. We have to be careful when to bring in Olei Hashem, when not to bring in Olei Hashem. A lot of deep ideas to that. Now the Gemara continues. Ein bein kohen mashuach mishem and mishchal l'meruba begadim. There's no difference between a kohen gadol who had the anointing oil put on him and a kohen gadol who has additional garments. So what is going on over here? El apar b'shvetzos, except for the par davar zom b'shvetzos tzibur. A little background over here. The times of the kohen gadol, he used to be appointed with the Shemen HaMishchas prepared specifically by Moshe Rabbeinu. This was done all the way from the times of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way through Bayis Rishon until the times of Bayis Rishon, until Yoshiyahu Melech, when he noticed that eventually the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. He was going as the Aron Kodesh as well as the Shemen HaMishchas of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so during all the time of Bayis Sheni and the time after Yoshiyahu Melech also, the Kohen Gadol was not anointed with the special oil of Moshe Rabbeinu. So is there any nafkamina between them? So the Mishnah is saying that again, a merubah begadim, also what's a merubah begadim? Is that we know every Kohen has four begadim, and the Kohen Gadol has four as well, an additional four, to have a total of eight. Pneumatic Kohen, just help myself remember, is the lesson of Imchem, Aleph Mem Ches Mem, that's a regular Kohen, which is an Avnate, Mem is going to be Mikbat, Chaf is Ktones, and Mem is Michnasaya. Those Imchem, my mnemonic to remember the Kohen Hedyot, and just my mnemonic also, Chemetz, Chem, Ches, Mem, Aleph, Tzadik is a way to remember what the Kohen Gadol is a Choshen, Me'il, Ephod, and Sitz. Those are the four Begadim. So those are eight Begadim. So he had these additional Begadim, although he wasn't anointed with oil. So what are the two different differences? Only one difference is Par Habal Kol HaMitzvos. As Rashi says that the Lashon of, when it says, if Klal Yisrael forgot, if our halacha, and the Sanhedrin paskin this halacha wrong, and it was an Isra Karis, and Klal Yisrael did it more than Rova Tibor, all Maseches Horios, all 13 half of Maseches Horios is about this. Very nice Masechta, actually. So this is all about that Shaila. So then they did the Hora of the Kol Yisrael. So then the Kohen Gadol would bring up Paral Damar Shel Tzibor. We actually bring it up in Ezra's Mekomesh Zvachim. Anyway, we say Mekohen Mashiach Yitchagam Mesor Amin. Kohen Mashiach, one is anointed with oil. So clearly it implies only he has the one who could bring the Paral Damar Shel Tzibor and nobody else. So that would be the only Nafkamina. Now another difference. Ein ben Kohen Mashamesh Kohen Sha'avar. There's no difference between a Kohen Gadol who is serving and a Kohen Gadol previously served. How do you have a Kohen Gadol's previous service still alive? Let's say there was a psul, whatever, he became tame, or whatever, something happened to the Kohen Gadol, which he's not only he broke his foot, something happened to him, which is no longer to be an active duty. So they had the Skana Koyanim, which is the second in command. He would take over because the Kohen Gadol, as soon as the Kohen Gadol was fit again, the guy would be what called the Kohen Shehover, a Kohen already is a Ki'ilu, he's finished his avoda from being Kohen Gadol because now he's back in the place of Skan. So what's the difference between them? Elaparium, a Kippur, and Vasir, Sa'efa. The bull they used to bring, the Kohen Gadol, on him, Kippur. And the Kippur, the Chatas, the Kohen Gadol used to bring on Kippur for himself and his family. That can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. That Chatas, which was done by the Kohen Gadol, not the one who is the second in command, who the one even at one point was a Kohen Gadol. And the korban used to bring every day, which was called the Asir Se'efa, the tenth of an Efa, was a reference to the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The offerings of the Kohen Gadol used to bring every day had an Efa of flour, and baked as bread. 12 was a bread. Half in the morning, bin Arbayim, Ksav Baboker, and the Mafsizah bin Arbayim. And the Torah says that only one is allowed to be brought, only the Kohen Gadol is currently serving. So now the Gemara is pointing out the first part of the mission, which told us, Hale Inyan, Pariyam HaKippurim V'Asir Se'efa. So with regards to the bull offering of Kippur and the tenth of an Efa, Zev Zev Shavin, the point of was appointed by the Shem and HaMishcha, we're in the first part of the Mishnah. And the Kohen Gadol, who just during the time by Sheni, who only has the Merubah Begadim, has the eight garments opposed to the four, they're going to have the same halachas. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring them, no matter if he doesn't have the coin of Mishcha. So Marzim Asis and Dolkar Meir. Our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Meir. The ear of Meir Hatanu. Because we learn in Rebbeis, Meir's opinion is different. Meir says, Meruba Begadim may be par al kol abetzos. He brings their par al dershul tzibar, divar of Meir, Rechachamim, Eino maybe does not bring it. So our Mishnah follows Chachamim and not Rebbe Meir. The Gemara says, my time under Meir. What's the reason where Meir is saying a Kohen Gadol is going to be able to bring it even if it says a Mashiach, which says anointed with the oil? The Sanya, it says Mashiach, in reference to Parlam de Rashi Tzibar, as Rashi quoted the Pasuk. Rashi helped us with the Pasuk already. It says, right, HaKohen HaMashiach, Yechtel HaMashiach. I'm sorry. Now we're not talking about Parlam de Rashi Tzibar. I made a mistake. We're talking about the par of a Kohen Gadol who sins himself with an Isser Kars. Not the, there's two different halachas. There's par of the Mishnah, and also the par of the Kohen who's a Kohen Gadol who does an Isser Kars. He doesn't bring the normal Korban Chata, so I got that wrong. So that's what we're referring to over here. We're referring to that halachas. And where it says, the sound of Mashiach, in the El Mashiach, Bashem and Mishcha, that a Kohen Gadol is anointed with the oil is in the obligation. How do I know? Merubah Begadim, and I don't know that even someone who is it just has the extra four garments, he's a regular Kohen Gadol of his mind by a Sheni, he's being included in this. Tabat Lomar HaMashiach. It says, the anointed one, as HaMashiach is another miut, which is, and we can learn, Ein miut miut ala rabo, so therefore we're including, it must be a double negative, which is therefore coming to include, even by a Sheni, they would bring a Korban. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, we might come into it. You've established the mission as not following Rav Meir. Ein Masifa, but the next part of the mission, which says, Ein Ben Kohen Mashiach, Kohen Sha'avar, there's no difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Gadol who is not able to, who's not currently serving right now. He once served, but he's not serving him. Right? La Par Yom HaKippur and Vasir Se'efa. The bull offering of Kippur and the tenth of an Efa, which implies Hala Kol Devrei and Zevesh Hashamin, all other matters. The Kohen Gadol is going to be identical to the one who is going to be like the other Kohen. That maybe even wear the when he does the Avoda, he can wear eight garments. Also, he's also not allowed to marry Almana. He can only marry Basula. All those halachas are going to be the same. That follows the opinion of Meir. To sign an era of psula mino coin achar taftav. If the temporary disqualification had happened and the coin gadol, they appointed someone else in his place. And Mirishon Chozer Avada So Sheni Lekometz Es Guna Gadolav. So the first coin gadol, when he becomes fit again, he returns to being the coin gadol. Sheni Lekometz Es Guna Gadolav. The second one, he's no longer the coin gadol. All mitzvahs of the coin gadol still apply to him, and therefore he wears the Shmona Begadim. He's not allowed to grow his hair when he's in mourning. He can't even rent, he can't tear his garments when he's in mourning. Again, all those halachas apply to a Kohen Gadol. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. B'yosi Yomer Rishon Chozel Avodah. So, the first Kohen Gadol in the camp returns to his Avodah. Sheni Ein Aroy Lelo Kohen Gadol Velo Kohen Adah. No. He's not fit to be either a Kohen Gadol wearing the eight garments or a regular Kohen wearing only four. Why not? Yomer B'yosi Maisa, B'yosi Ben Ulam, Ben Tzipor, I think we're going to answer. First it happened, we're going to Maisa. And Yosef Ben Ulam, who was from the town of Tzipori, She'ira Bob Sul, Ben Kohen Gadol, Menu Atachtav. So it had happened, there was a Kohen Gadol, he was second in command, the Kohen Gadol had a problem, and then so he took over. So then again, after he came before the Chachamim, they said, Rishon Chozer Avarasa, the first Kohen Gadol becomes fit again and goes back to his Avodah. Sheni Enerai Lo Kohen Gadol, Velo Kohen Gadol, the second Kohen is not fit to serve either as a Kohen Gadol, wearing the eight garments, or as a regular Kohen wearing only four. Why not? Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, because we're going to have two Kohanim acting Ki'ilu as the Kohen Gadol wearing this, it's going to lead to big fights. So therefore, we don't want to have a fighting, inner fighting, that's going to be a problem. However, Kohen Hedjel Mishum Alam Mekol Shemunin, also you can't serve as a regular Kohen, because you just wore eight Begadim, and now you're lowering your status to four. So therefore, as a Takana, Derabanan, we tell you that you're not allowed to be a service of an ordinary Kohen. So we see from the Braisa, that the halacha that we're quoting, that part of the Mishnah, that a Kohen Gadol is no longer serving, is not, is entirely like a Kohen Gadol, even in regards to doing the Vodah and Shemunik Begadim, is like the opinion of Rameir. The Gemara asks, Reisha, Rabbanan, Sidra, Meir, one Braisa in the first part of the Mishnah, the beginning part of that Braisa, line up with the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and then, with Rabbanan rather, and then, which we're actually calling the Rabbi Yossi, or whoever the Rabbanan is, and then the Sefer is going to be like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chissa, what's the problem in Reisha, Rabbanan, and Sefer, Rabbi Meir, that we have a Braisa, that the first half of the Braisa follows the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the second half follows the Rabbi Meir. We don't like to have that within one Mishnah, it follow two different opinions, but sometimes we'll have that. Or, Rabbi Yossi says differently, Amar, Rabbi Yunasi, Valibar, Detanei. That this Mishnah is a view of Rabbi, and in Echanami, he takes a view, he's following the Rabbanan in the first half, and the second half he's following Rabbanan, and that would be lined up a little bit better, because we see that Rebbe, knowing how the opinions lined up, this is how he's telling us we should be paskening. Now we'll give a little introduction. There's a concept called a bama. A bama was a enemy's be'ach, an altar that was used during the sacrifices. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was usher to have a bama. Even during the time of the Mishkan, most times it was usher also. During Shiloh, anytime there was a permanent status to a Mishkan, it was usher to have a bama. Really, only times that it was really mutter was in Gilgal. In Gilgal for 14 years over there, and in Nov and Givon, those places where it was very temporary, even the structure itself of the Mishkan during that time was temporary, then you're allowed to bring what's called a bama, your own personal bama, bring your own korbanos. So there's two kinds of bamas. There's a bama gedola, or a bama tzibur, that was public, and they would bring the korbanos tzibur there wherever the time it was. So let's say Nov, Givon, they would have the bama gedola, and then there'd be a bama ktona, that was a personal, everyone had their backyard, they could bring their own korbanos there. So one of the problems during the Beis HaMikdash saga, people were lazy, they didn't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash all the time, they built their own bamas, even though there's an issur d'oraisa to have so. In bama gedola b'mana ktona. So no difference between a big bama and a small bama during the time where it was permitted, ela psachim, except for a psachim, which only brought on the bama gedola because it was a korban tzibur. Zach, this is the general rule. Kol she'nida v'nida kara b'bama. Anything which is vows or donated can be brought on a small bama. V'chol she'ino v'nida v'nida v'ino kara b'bama. Anything which is not, cannot be vowed or donated, which would not be brought. That's going to be like korban tzibur. The Gemara says, wait a second though. The Mishnah's first ruling seems problematic because the Mishnah implies only psachim. Psachim v'sulo, and only korban pesach, nothing else. Certainly there are other korbanos tzibur that can be brought on the bama gedola. So why are you implying it by having this lashon of psachim? The Gemara says, ela ema ke'en psachim. You have to explain the Mishnah referring to something like korban pesach, meaning that it's a time-obligated korban tzibur and has a fixed time, like a korban on Shabbos or korban on Rosh Chodesh. Those can all be brought on the bama gedola. Another point, Gemara points out, money. Who is the opinion that this is following the major bama only if they have a fixed date? Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Omer, af tzibur ekriv el psachim mechova shekavod em zman. Even the major bama would bring the korban on tzibur and things that have a fixed date. Of a chova she'elam kavazman lo karav. Things that are a korban tzibur, like the halachas of Apollo and Dafa Shatibur, things that are not obligated based on time, that's going to be something which Rav Shimon would say would not be the subject to halachas of a big mama, only in the times of Mishkan where it's permanent in Shiloh or in the times of Yerushalayim. Okay, but as Rav Shimon will pick up with Ein Bin Shiloh Shalayim in tomorrow's daf.